Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. That's right, hope is alive through our Lord Jesus Christ and the liberty that He promised us. Hope is Alive is a new program dedicated to finding out the truth of walking in that liberty, and we will do as the Bereans did. It says in Acts 17, "Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of the mind, examining the scriptures daily, whether these things were so." Did not our Lord Jesus Christ tell us in Luke 10, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." I don't know whether you've noticed it or not, or it may even be true for you, but our people, our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ are hurting. They are beaten down, trampled beneath, and hurting both physically, mentally, and spiritually. Could it be that we've missed something, or maybe even ignored it? If we've been given all the power over the enemy, then we're certainly not using it as we should, or we would not be losing all the battles in nearly every area of our Christian walk, in our families, or even in this nation. Today we are going to hear testimonies from a wonderful ministry in Oklahoma City called Deliverance Ministries. Its website is www.delmin.org. That's D-E-L-M-I-N.org. I want you to visit the site, hear the messages on that site, look at the self-ministry, look at the tools that they put on there, and listen to more testimony of how the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered many, many a brother and sister for 32 years through that ministry. Our first testimony here on this program deals with a generational curse and a death spirit over a young woman and her family. Hear how she was set free of this curse and many other things with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because through that blood, hope is alive.
Hello, I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries. Well, here we go again. We've seen God's Word perform itself as Christians speak it. How awesome it is that every Christian, every ordinary Christian, can do supernatural things in His name. When Jesus told us to cast out demons, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, we can do all those things in His name. Yes, even today, it's not passed away. Heaven and earth shall pass away. The Word shall not pass away. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's still the same ball game. Hallelujah. The sad part about it is so are the demons around. But nevertheless, we have the answer still, just like the people in the New Testament days. As they had the answer, we have the answer. Well, here on the program, I'd like to welcome Christy Trent. Good to have you, Christy.
Well, thanks for having me.
Christy, we're on the telephone here. If you could speak pretty close to the telephone, I'd like to interview you. You've had some, yes, supernatural things certainly happen in you, your family, your life. So when was it you were born again? Let me get that first.
It was last summer.
Okay.
That I actually had like a rededication. I was saved when I was about 10, and then strayed away from the Lord, and then last summer got filled with the Holy Spirit and had a rededication.
Praise God. And you no doubt saw quite a change in your life at that point.
Yes, I did. I did. I had no idea.
But you know how exciting it is that you did that, because if you hadn't done it, how miserable would you be today?
Yeah, well, I had no idea what the Lord was preparing me for.
Yes. Well, why don't you explain to the listeners just what all went on and what have you seen happen?
Well, personally, when I went through some inner healing when I first got rededicated, which was just an awesome experience, and you just don't realize how much baggage you are just carrying around. And
yes.
So I went through some inner healing, and that was good. But I just kind of felt like I needed something more. There was still stuff that was bothering me, still some baggage I was carrying around. And started to learn more about spiritual warfare and the demonic, and came to your teaching on Monday night. And I think we ended up casting out a death spirit that was generational, and found out that, you know, the demonic had a hold on my kids. And I mean, he had a huge presence on my life, and, you know, being a Christian, I didn't even realize that he had all that power.
How did we find that out, Christy? Do you remember?
About the death spirit?
Yes.
Well, we were praying, and the death spirit manifested.
Yeah, I actually talked through you, didn't
it? Yeah, it spoke through me and said that I believe it had been around for four generations, and it was a curse spoken from my mother's side of the family, something that I would have never even realized had I not gone through that experience.
But isn't it exciting that the blood of Jesus is sufficient to break all that off?
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, praise God, because, you know, it was broken off of me and my children, and through that I've been able to talk to my family members and, you know, pray with them and break it off of my sisters. And so it's been an awesome experience.
And you'd really seen what's been going on. I mean, your children had been under a terrible attack, hadn't
they? Yeah, especially my oldest daughter. From the time that she entered this world 2 years ago, she's been under a tremendous demonic attack. And in fact, just here in the last few months, we've seen the release of that. And it's been amazing. I mean,
you know, people just wouldn't imagine that it would be spiritual. We all, and I'm the same way, if I don't watch it, we all tend to think flesh and blood, and you know, that it's just circumstances, it's just this and that. It's not. I mean, we don't think spiritual.
Well, we don't, and that's so right that you say that, because, I mean, when things started happening to my daughter, we weren't where we needed to be with the Lord, my husband and I, and so it was very easy for us to blame each other and, you know, blame the doctors and, you know, instead of pointing the finger at the real culprit of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so you're right, just being flesh, it's so easy to just to not even think about things being spiritual.
Yes,
and everything is. I mean, it's come full circle now for us to realize that absolutely everything that goes on in our lives is spiritual. Everything.
It's so true. You know?
Yeah, I mean, down to getting a drink of water. I mean, everything is spiritual.
You know, you have to really renew your mind to
you
think
do.
Like that, because the flesh wants to run with the flesh.
You do, and really take your thoughts captive, and, I mean, just really...
Yeah.
To have a keen eye and a keen spirit.
Well, Christy, when you were ministered to, were there some other things cast out that you're comfortable in sharing that you can remember?
Yeah, I had a lot of unforgiveness towards myself that I'd been carrying around that I just thought was normal. That,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all have things we don't forgive ourselves for. I think our society lets us believe that that's to be true. And so I had some unforgiveness. I had a fear. I think it was just a fear.
Was that bothering you very much, the fear?
Did it bother me?
Uh-huh, very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I used to have night terrors.
Mm.
And I remember when Matt, my husband, and I first got married, I mean, they were bad enough that I would wake up in the middle of the night, I was seeing things in our house, and I just thought I was having nightmares because of a scary movie, or, you know, not realizing what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was purely Satan just had his hands all over our house, letting things manifest and for me to see things. And, it, you know, so I was delivered of that. and which was just awesome.
Amen.
For them to be able to sleep.
any one of those is a marvelous thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
So you don't see the fear bothering you now?
No, I don't. And I sure can tell whenever it's starting to rear its head. If I'm starting to be attacked by it again. It comes along with anxiety and then just worriness, and, I can sure cast it out lot quicker.
You've learned how to shoot your gun.
I have. We've got the big gun.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Most Christians just leave their guns in the holsters, though.
They do. And I think the Lord has done such an awesome work with me and with Matt, and just getting us to realize, our families have been totally changed.
Well, I think without question, the best defense is an offense. Come out with your guns blazing on a daily basis.
That's
in
right.
Jesus' name. And as we shoot, we win.
That's right. That's right. We do win.
And the nice thing is, Christy, the bullets are free.
That is. The bullets are free. That's right. That's right. And people need to try the one thing that works.
So it sounds like you're having a lot of joy these days.
I am. I'm able to enjoy my life and enjoy my children. And it's amazing. After all the Lord has taken us through and the testings and all that Satan's tried to get all over us, and I'm just so thankful that we've had the means.
Amen. And this has even spread to some of your family. Your mother-in-law's had an awesome experience.
Yeah,
didn't she?
It's so amazing the miraculous things that have happened. It's amazing. It is amazing. And what is so neat is I think that as Christians we tend to think that this stuff won't happen to us, that we won't see the miracles, but it's amazing when it's actually happening to you and your family.
He sent his word and healed us and delivered us of our destruction.
Yes.
Well, with your mother-in-law, she was even diagnosed with, a level 3 cancer?
Yeah, she had level 3 ovarian cancer last November. She's been battling it for 3 years. And she finally went through deliverance, and we had taken her to some miracle healing services, and she's finally set free. She has absolutely no cancer in her body.
Isn't that exciting?
And her doctors don't know what to tell her.
except that she's okay.
Yeah, except, go home and come back and see us in a few months.
Amen. So I remember when we ministered to her, she actually felt that spirit coming out. A lot of people, in fact, good 80% of the people, as you go through deliverance, they'll feel them moving around inside, odd and weird as that is. But they'll also feel it go.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
And as she felt that go, we really felt we'd scored. It's nice to feel them that way, because when it does go, it's like chasing a rabbit. When it's out, it's out.
And you can shut the doors and, praise God that it doesn't come back.
Amen. And she's been filling her house and is spiritually now and growing in the Lord and in the fullness of the gospel. It is so wonderful to find out, of course, the most important being salvation, but to find out we have all these other benefits.
That's right. We have all of the giftings, and we can reap all of the benefits.
What a marvelous inheritance we have from Calvary.
Yes.
Well, Christy Trent, thank you so much for sharing on what Jesus is doing in your life.
Well, thank you.
I'm Everett Cox with Deliverance Ministries.
Next, I want you to listen to a testimony from a chiropractor how he was delivered by Deliverance Ministries from a spirit of fear, and believe it or not, from backache. Listen to how he was set free, and because of that freedom, he was able to minister to other people.
Well, here on the program today to share is someone that's been set free, and he's going to tell it. I'd like to welcome Dr. John Schaff to the program. Good to have you, Doctor. Nice to be here. I'm going to call you John, since we've gotten rather acquainted here, and as we ministered to him and enjoyed the fellowship with my brother. And John, let me get some background on you, some spiritual history. When were you born again?
In 1976. I went to a revival out at Metro Church, and I accepted the Lord that evening. It was good. And I've been growing ever since.
How about the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I was baptized in the Holy Spirit 1977, about a year after I was saved.
So your Christian walk has been gaining momentum all along, no doubt, and yet, how is it you happen to be on a deliverance program today?
I felt as though I had some attacks from Satan where he was coming against me and my business physically. And I prayed about it, and I felt as though the Lord led me to you to be delivered. And that's why I came.
What made you suspicion that you might be having some attacks of the other side, John? And I'm sure there's listeners out there that are wondering that same question and probably are having some attacks themselves. Since at this point in my growth, it appears to me that the majority of people probably are bothered with these things from time to time and probably need some ministry. I certainly do from time to time in the continuing process of it all. But how is it you suspicioned they might be demonic?
Through Christian fellowship in our kinship at church and getting into the Word, the Holy Spirit told me that it was Satan, you know, that it wasn't, you know, that person over there or this person, that it was actually Satan causing these things to happen and coming against me.
Okay, would you be comfortable in sharing, John, more specifically some of the types of things that were going on in your life, do you recall?
Sure. I had a spirit of fear. Let me think. Spirit of anxiety. I also had some inflictions where neck pain and headaches and back pain. And, I mean, I had that for, let's say, 5 years.
Which is a little ironic in some ways, since you are a chiropractor.
Yes.
And so I guess the other side was getting some chuckles out of that, trying to torpedo you with some back pain.
Definitely. He sure was. The headaches and neck pain and back pain were almost constant on a daily basis. And since the deliverance, I mean, I feel fantastic. I mean, no more neck pain or back pain or headaches. I mean, it is fantastic.
What happened in your deliverance, John? How do you know these things were coming out?
When I was going through deliverance, I could actually feel the evil spirit of the pain in my neck and back, and it would move around. It went down my arm and back up, and then it went down my back and back up, and with your help and the Holy Spirit and the Lord, we got that evil spirit out, and it finally left.
Yeah, as I remember, it kind of hung up, didn't it? And
yeah.
Moved around like you were describing. And I know to the listener that who is not initiated to this is probably amazed to hear such a thing. And yet, anyone that's doing deliverance sees this as a rather common thing. Certainly at least half of the people we minister to, probably more than half, will feel these things moving around inside as you start ministering. And particularly the fellow that, again, is not initiated to it, that's not been around it, that's perhaps a little skeptical in the beginning anyway, it really is amazing to the person to feel something like that, you know, moving around. Were you skeptical at all, John, when you came in, or you just always kind of felt it probably was a demonic activity?
I felt it was demonic activity. And when you did the introduction here at the class that evening, I could feel them stirring in my stomach. I could. I was a little bit nervous. I was a little bit uneasy. But I knew this is what the Lord wanted.
It's interesting you should say that, because that's not uncommon either. When you're teaching about deliverance, the people sitting out there, a certain number of them will feel something sort of churning right in the middle of the gut of your stomach. And that's it. In fact, is some people have such a problem with the spirits squirming and speaking to them, they can't even get to the meeting in the first place. The things will whisper and talk them out of it. They'll keep saying, "Don't go up there." People will think you're crazy, or, you know, they'll say all things, kinds of things to the person to talk them out of it, and a certain number are talked out of it. It's sad, but it happens. And those that get here may be like yourself, as you get into the teaching and just talking about the power by the blood of Christ Jesus, those things get to squirming, and you know, they know they're getting ready to get foreclosed. And praise God, we're foreclosing by the blood here. I can say that and use those terms since I'm in the mortgage business. You see, it goes hand in hand. So anyway, John, you could feel him coming out then, and then that back pain spirit came out finally after lodging in your neck, as I recall, for a little bit, and then finally it blew on out. And what about some of the others? Could you feel them or hear them or anything?
I couldn't hear them, but I could feel them. I could tell when they left. Because after I was delivered of all the evil spirits, I mean, it's just like being set free. I mean, it's just like, well, it's a better feeling than when you were born again. I mean, it was such a wonderful feeling, and I feel that every day. I mean, it's fantastic.
How long has it been now since your deliverance?
A month and a half, and it's fantastic. Oh,
and you're able to read the word, you were telling me, like you couldn't before.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I can't put it down. I read every night right before I go to sleep, and I find myself, you know, reading for an hour. You know, I mean, I just can't put the word down. It's fantastic. Would you say?
I know that a lot of our people involved with this ministry may be shaking their head at this point, but let me ask you a question. Did Jesus not cast out demons? Did Jesus not deliver the demoniac of 2,000 spirits? In John 14:11, he says, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father." So I want you to listen to this, and I want you to do as the Bereans did. I want you to examine the scriptures. I want you to seek the Holy Spirit as he leads us in this new dimension of the ministry. The next testimony is about a man in a haunted house, maybe a poltergeist. I know that we've had problems in our own homes of pipes being ripped in two, cables being ripped in two, not falling, not breaking, being torn apart. We prayed, something happened, something changed. Listen to this testimony about a haunted house.
Barry Combs, Barry, good to have you on the program today.
It's good to be here.
Barry, I know that statement I just made sounds a little funny to some of the people, but in the case with you and your family, that's exactly how we happened to first start visiting. It seemed that you had a house that needed to be set free. I wonder if you'd first share with us, Barry, what was going on in your house. Now, you live out by Yukon, and what did you notice that was strange that was going on there?
First, we noticed, started hearing at nighttime after all the lights were out, we started hearing cabinet doors shutting and dishes rattling, and it was a little bit scary at first until we became born again and we found out we had authority over that.
How long ago was that, Barry?
It's been about 5 years.
Okay, now you all were born again about 5 years ago, and then you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, immediately after.
Praise God for that. Now, when did you first start seeing these things happen in your house? Was it right after that?
It was right the same week we got saved.
Isn't that interesting? Somebody wasn't too happy about the direction you were going, so they were trying to deter you and steer you the wrong way, I guess, by fear.
They did. We held a Bible study at our house, and after the Bible study, we left to go ride bikes with a friend of ours down the street. And when we got back, we went to bed. The next morning we woke up and all of my wife's jewelry was missing. And so we called the police out and had an investigation and could not find any signs whatsoever of anybody breaking in. And about 4 weeks after that, we got home from a Wednesday evening service, and through a lot of our prayers and a lot of my wife praying and fasting that whoever took them would bring them back, we came home from church and they were laying on the sofa table.
Isn't that something? And of course, at this point, we'd have to conclude that there was something spiritual involved that was actually hiding those or who knows what. I'm not surprised at anything anymore, believe me.
Well, we don't know if it was a if it was spiritual or human, but they did return, and that we give all the glory to God for that.
Praise God. Now, back to the things that were happening in your house. Was this about the same time that you started hearing these noises and all?
Yes, after that. Basically, it'd be after I left. My wife would hear these things. We'd come home and the television would be turned on. After my wife had our first baby, she stayed home with the children. And she would start hearing these things after I'd leave to go to work. And when I'd get home, we'd discuss it and talk about it. And it seemed to move closer and closer to the kids' room and our room.
What exactly would you hear?
Well, first we heard in the kitchen, the kitchen doors shutting. Then it was knocking. Knockings on the baby's bed. And at that time is when we decided that something had to be done about it, because we did not want them in our children's room.
And I assume the babies were responding.
They were waking up 4 or 5 times a night.
Now, you, what about the water faucets? We visited about that earlier.
We were standing in the kitchen talking one evening, my wife and I, and the water just came on. I mean, just no one was anywhere near it. The wind didn't blow it open or anything. So, yeah.
Well, it's you know, someone might say, well, that sounds kind of like the movies. The goose pimples are going up and down my spine. Well, that's all right. We still have the greater power. There's no fear when you know who you are in Jesus. Now, obviously, if you don't know who you are in Jesus, you probably have some fear, but praise God, there's freedom for us. Okay, so you had the water faucets going on and off, and the doors slamming and opening. The baby room finally got knocking noises going on there, and the kids were waking up. And then your wife even heard a voice.
Yes, one night real late, I was asleep, and she was laying awake. And a voice at the very foot of the bed, in a real deep and mean sounding voice, said, "Serve Satan."
Well, at least in this case, it wasn't too hard to figure out which side was speaking. That's more clean cut than a lot of situations where people are hearing voices. Some of them are pretty tricky, but in this case, I don't think we'd have any problem figuring out which side it was. Amen? So, okay, that was what prompted the call to Deliverance Ministries, and praise God we've had occasion to sit down with you and your wife now and ministered, and we went through, of course, we found many times there are legal rights for demons to be in a house, but in your case, we visited and asked if there was any occult items or astrology or horoscopes there in the house, or collections of owls or tigers that would approach idolatry. We found that to be a legal right. In fact, we can't cast the demons out until those things are out. It apparently falls in the idolatry class. But you didn't seem to have any of those things. But when we we sat down and were able to minister, we did run into that typical thing we do with people, and that is there was some unforgiveness existing. And so we went through deliverances, and praise God, we terminated that legal right. And when we ministered to you, Barry, you had something that had been bothering you for quite a while. How about sharing that with us?
It involved chewing skull. That's something that I've done for over 10 years, and it was, at first it didn't bother me to chew skull after I got saved, and the Holy Spirit worked on me more and more to discontinue it. So after several times of trying to quit myself, and my wife making threats to me to quit because she didn't want our kids chewing it also. And children do have a way of emulating their parents. And I also didn't want them to chew. And so after failing several times at stopping, I knew that as soon as we got up here to talk to Everett and to sit down with him and cast these spirits out, I knew it was going to be gone.
Praise God.
And my wife and I were talking on the phone the Friday before we came to talk to Everett, and when we were talking about the deliverance from skull, I had terrific butterflies in my stomach. And I thought it was just excitement, because I knew I was going to be delivered.
Praise God.
And sure enough, when we got up here that evening, it was, as soon as we walked into Everett's office, it was instant butterflies.
Those things were actually squirming. We find that usually the demons hang out right in your belly area, and they knew they were about to lose their house. If I'm in the mortgage business, I'm used to foreclosing. Well, that's exactly what we were going to do. We were going to foreclose by the blood. Amen?
Amen. And we did. And that evening, we cast the spirit of unforgiveness out first, naturally. And when we got down to the skull, we cast the spirit of nicotine. And it was immediately... I mean, I had no desire whatsoever after that to chew the stuff, and I haven't since, praise the Lord.
And that's been 6-7 weeks, right?
6 weeks.
Praise God. Jesus is still setting the captives free, and he's also setting the houses free. You have no more problems in your house, is that correct?
None whatsoever.
Yes, Jesus is in the setting free business. Thank
In Revelation, it talks about the sorcery of Babylon. That word sorcery is pharmakia. I know many people and many people in my family that battle migraines. Headaches seem to run in my family, severe headaches. These people are on very strong painkillers. The next testimony is about a young woman that was delivered from migraines. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to think about the things in your life that you may have no control over, that you wonder why it's a persistent thing that you take before the Lord and you're never delivered from. Could it be that something else is attacking you that you know not, and that you haven't dealt with according to the word of the Lord? Now to the young woman with the issue of the migraine.
So were born again that early and kept growing in the gospel, I take it?
Yes, I did. I was fortunate enough to have just family, you know, Christians in my family, and just, you know, raised in the church, just raised in the word. So
yes,
I've been very fortunate, very blessed.
That is such a blessing. A blessing indeed.
It is.
Well, how did you happen to learn even about this part of the gospel called deliverance?
Well, really through my family, actually, through part of my family, through my aunt, Linda Savage, through her and through my cousin, Brittany Hogue. I've heard them talk about it for several months, and so I've just been really interested. You know, I've done Bible studies and things on spiritual warfare and things like that, so I was familiar with that. But as far as deliverance, I mean, I was very interested when they first started kind of talking to me about it. I was extremely interested in it and wanted to find out more.
So did you finally come to one of our meetings that we have at Deliverance Ministry?
Yes, I did. I came to a meeting on Monday night, and once I heard all the information, I just knew. I mean, I couldn't wait to do it.
And did you get ministry yourself that evening?
Not that evening. A few days later, I did.
Uh-huh. Well, during the teaching, of course, what we do there on Monday nights is a kind of an explanation of and why this works of Jesus is so practical to believers today,
mm-hmm.
that nothing's disappeared in the gospel. It's all still here, still happening. As the word says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word shall not pass away. So, yes, here it is.
Mm-hmm.
And performing itself as Christians speak it and do it. Well, so when you were ministered to, you had probably already figured out some suspects, Jamie.
I did. I kind of went in there knowing, you know, kind of knowing a few things, kind of just some suspects. And
it seems a person will so typically know these spirits, at least be suspicious about them,
right,
simply by the problems going on in a person's life. And the more overboard or tormenting something is, the more suspicious it is. That's kind of the way we go at it. So you worked up a few suspects.
I did. I knew kind of going into some things. And after, you know, hearing the information, hearing all about it on, you know, Monday evening, that even kind of shows you even more, you know, going through the door closing prayer and everything. And, you know, one of the big things I had been struggling with, and it had not dawned on me that it was really, that it could be the enemy, was migraine headaches.
Yes.
And so for about 10 years. And so that was...
How many years?
Not until that evening did it dawn on me that it could be the enemy.
How many years had it bothered you?
About 10 years.
10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So what happened when we got into ministry, Jamie?
Well, kind of just really as we started talking and I kind of visited and shared with you that I thought maybe migraines were, you know, this was something that we needed to kind of look at. It was just amazing. Once we got in there and we started going through everything and praying, it's just amazing just the way that I felt.
Did you feel anything going on or coming out?
I did. It was kind of hard for me to breathe. My chest just felt really tight, kind of a burn in my stomach, and I'd feel it kind of go up through my chest.
And then finally come out?
Uh-huh.
So
yes.
You knew you had some on the run.
Yes, I did. I definitely did.
That's kind of nice in a way because, you know, if you didn't, and some people do not feel things happening. We find out they're just as free later, but it's kind of nice. Most people do feel something, and
mm-hmm. And
then when they feel it go, you kind of know you got one. You
do.
Know?
It does make you feel good to know, oh, good, that one's even.
Right. Kind of like chasing rabbits.
That's right.
Well, what all then finally happened? You got quite a few out, did you?
Yes, we did. Quite a few came out, and it was very easy. You know, very. I was surprised at how easy that it was. And
feeling better?
I did. I, you know, really halfway through it, I thought, well, if I got up and left now, I'd feel great. I mean, you know, it was going really well. By the time I left there, I don't know any other way to describe it, but just I felt lighter. And over the really couple weeks after, I could even really see, you know, I could see really where the Lord, where things had really been broken off.
Were there some other areas that were addressed that you're comfortable in sharing?
Gosh, yes. Let me try and think. Probably another thing I really kind of had a little bit of problem with, kind of anxiety and a little bit of problems with sleeping. I seemed like I was exhausted all the time and anxious, and really, I just have not had any of those problems.
Wonderful.
At all.
How long has it been now, Jamie?
It's been about a month, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer. I'm not sure. I think it's been about 4 or 5 weeks, but it's just been amazing. I have not had any migraine headaches, and I was getting those weekly.
Wow.
And they were horrible. I mean, I couldn't really, I have two small children, and I couldn't really take care of them when I would get one. And we couldn't find any medication that would really work, and I've not had not one migraine headache. And that's just, I mean, praise the Lord, that's a miracle.
Amen. Well, Jamie, did you figure out some doors maybe or some routes that might have allowed even the migraine to operate? Did anything come to you there?
Well, you know, it was kind of hard to figure out exactly. I knew that they had started in college. My parents had gone through divorce. But, you know, so many people are in that same situation. Kind of some family things. So really mainly some family issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of where we saw maybe, you know, I had just kind of opened the door, and really they just every year they were getting a little bit worse.
Was there some unforgiveness involved that you were able to clear out?
Yes, there was some unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And once I forgave, you know, did that, it was just, it's just amazing. I really feel set free.
Well, that's, you know, we found there are so often roots, doors of some sort that have opened. Sometimes they're generational doors that
mm-hmm.
need to be closed to, that is, cancel the legal rights these spirits may have to be there. But once we deal with that, then the actual ministry part is pretty easy.
And, right.
And that makes all the difference in the world. If we just jumped in on the spirits, it's a whole nother ball game. And that's where I started back in 1978. And we've learned, of course, as we've gone along through the years and gotten better and better at closing these doors and canceling those legal rights the other side is using. Well, that's pretty exciting, Jamie. Are you able to kind of tell others now about the reality of this works of Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Deliverance area?
Yes. I mean, I can't. I love telling people, you know, this, you've got to do this. This is, you know, everyone needs to do this. It's just amazing.
It does seem, while Christians, of course, cannot be possessed in their spirits, we sure
right.
can be bothered in the body area and also the soul area, being tormented and harassed to varying degrees. It's that's what's going on, and the Christians
right.
seem to even be targets.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
So many think Christians are immune. I wish that was the case.
Me too.
It's the other way around. We are the targets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jamie, do you think churches are starting to get hold of this more now and use it?
I do. I mean, I really do. I think that people are really realizing, you know, what's going on, you know, and that our war is not, you know, with things we can see.
And not against flesh and blood,
right.
like Paul warned us. It's just that we kind of, I guess it's natural, since we walk around in a fleshy vehicle, it's natural to think it's flesh and blood first. I notice I have the same tendency, and I have to keep renewing my mind to this thinking
mm-hmm.
in order to pursue the answers.
Right.
But if we can figure out who the real enemy is, praise God, then we can deal with it and get free.
I do pray that you are taking these testimonies to heart, and you're hearing the sincerity of these people, the sincerity of Mr. Everett Cox, who operates Deliverance Ministries for the last 32 years. Again, if you'd like to find out more information, you can go to www.delmin.org. The next is the issue of a heart attack, a spirit of cardiovascular problems. How many people do we all know that are on heart medications, that are having open heart surgeries, that are having heart attacks, that are dying, even at a young age? Listen to this and consider, maybe they're attacked by the heart attack spirit.
I'd like to welcome Brother James McCormick to the program today. James is from Carlsbad, New Mexico. Good to have you, brother.
Well, it's nice to be here.
James, you were telling me earlier about a case that you've been in deliverance for a number of years. Share with the people, if you would, about this heart attack infirmity that you ran into.
Yes, Everett, let me state the beginning that this was some 10 years ago, and the strange part about this phenomenon was that it was a saved, spirit-filled man. In fact, he was a board member in a charismatic church we pastored at that time in Carlsbad, New Mexico. We was at home one afternoon, and early evening, and his wife called and said she was quite concerned about him, that he was having lots of pains in his chest and he was feeling real bad, but rather than go to the hospital, he was going to try to make it to the church for prayer. and she said, I'm quite concerned about him. Said he's in lots of pain. Said that we would like for you to watch for him. So we live some 8 blocks away, and we went to the door and looked, and we saw the car come down the street, but it veered across the street and jumped the curb and finally stopped in the yard. And, of course, we ran out quite concerned and opened the door, and this brother was slumped over the steering wheel with the pains that went down into his left arm and is having all the symptoms of a heart attack. So we opened the door and got him out of the car, and he was gasping, and he says, I can't breathe. And he could only breathe just to the neck area. He couldn't breathe into the lungs. The chest was all knotted up in pain, and he couldn't breathe. So we took him into the living room, set him down in the chair, and by that time he went unconscious. He'd stopped breathing. There was a man that checked his pulse, and his pulse, he said the pulse had stopped. And one of the gentlemen now with us praying had saw his dad die with a heart attack, and he said, this man's having a heart attack. He said, I can recognize all the symptoms. So very frantically, naturally, we began to pray, and we just seek the Lord in desperation for this brother, knowing that it was a life-threatening situation. In fact, one brother went down to the hall, and he called for the ambulance, and he got them on the line. But about the time we got the ambulance on the line, I was praying, and the Holy Spirit checked me and says, he doesn't need prayer, he needs deliverance. And this is the Spirit casts it out. So, not questioning, I instructed the others that the Lord had, the Holy Spirit had revealed to me that this was a spirit that was destroying him, and therefore needed to be cast out. So we commanded, and at this time he was limp. He was not breathing. There was no pulse. He was almost dead. Very close to death. There was no signs of life. And when we, operating in the Spirit, gave a command for that spirit to come out, he was in a chair, and he called back with tremendous strength, and a spirit spoke and says, no, I won't come out. I came in to destroy him, and he will never preach. And then the spirit laughed with a demonic laugh. The situation in his life, he had, was called to the ministry, and this was 3 days prior to the time that he would preach his first message. And that spirit said, I have came upon him to destroy him. I will kill him, and he will never preach. Ha, ha, ha. So we commenced to command the Spirit in the name of Jesus to come out. After some struggle, the Spirit came out, and immediately the man's color, his face became flushed, his heartbeat became normal. All the symptoms and signs of the heart attack, all the pain that had him drawn over, all left. All his body system became immediately normal as the Spirit came out, and he was weak, but otherwise very natural. And the man began to weep, and he says, thank God we had someone to come to that knew what to do.
Praise God. Now, think of that a moment. How astonishing that is. This fellow would have died had someone not been sensitive enough to the Lord speaking to him, or sensitive enough to the Word and the knowledge of the Word to know that that was a demonic spirit and need to be dealt with right then in Jesus' name. That was a spirit of infirmity, no different than the lady and the woman in Luke 13, verse 11, where Jesus cast the spirit of infirmity out of her back and she was bowed over. We've run into cardiovascular spirits a number of times, Brother James, and one of them, my brother Thorne Stallings, when I ministered to him, I guess it's been close to 4 years ago now, and that thing manifested and gave its name as cardiovascular disease, and it said it had been in him for some time. It said, I killed his grandfather, grandfather's, plural, I killed his father, and I'm going to kill him. And it nearly had, because Thorne had about a year and a half before that, two heart attacks. He'd had open heart surgery, came close to getting him, and was still there, and no doubt was going to try again. How? Oh, what knowledge! What knowledge this is, if we can just get hold of it and then use it. How many people could have lived that had spirits of heart attacks working on them? I had another case, Buddy Myers, one of our team leaders from Chickasha, Oklahoma. Buddy had been playing basketball, and I guess still does quite a bit, with a group down there in gym two or three times a week, and he'd been having some chest pains, and his wife, who discerns real well, felt like she was picking up a spirit of cardiovascular disease. Well, when they came up and they helped us minister the following week, as a matter of routine, it didn't bother him, just a little bit of pain now and then, but he said, so why don't you minister here a minute? Everyone else had left, and he said, just I want you to address a cardiovascular spirit or a heart attack spirit. I've been having these chest pains. And so as a routine matter, I just said, all right, you spirit of cardiovascular, spirit of heart attack, in Jesus' name, you go from him. And much to my amazement, he starts manifesting. He bows over backwards in the chair and starts gasping for breath, his head hanging backwards, you know. Well, at least I knew what I had hold of, and praise God, I know how to shoot my gun. So once I realized I had it, I just, you know, stayed in the attack mode and kept commanding that cardiovascular spirit to go, and it wasn't 30, 45 seconds, it was gone. And he was completely back to normal, and that was a spirit. My wife, Carolyn, had one here a while back when we were teaching down in Lawton, and we were all divided up, each of us ministering, since we were shorthanded, and she got a cardiovascular spirit up in a man, and it pantomimed a heart attack, or was doing a heart attack. Well, she knew who she was in Jesus. She took authority, commanded it to be still and to go, and it did, and the man immediately went back to normal. What things we're learning here. If only people knew, if only they get hold of this and use the power. This is why Jesus told believers to cast out demons. He commissioned every one of us. He gave every one of us the power in which to do it. We just need to pick up on it and start using it, and we will see Jesus set the captives free.
I do hope you've appreciated the testimonies of these many people that have been set free by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. Again, I ask that you check out their website, which is www.delmin.org. Did Jesus not say in Mark 16, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if any drinks any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Please join us again next week as we praise and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, as we pray for people to be healed, and as we research and as we search the words like the Bereans did, to find out just what is true in the Scripture and what we've been missing and why we've been losing this battle. Our goal is to walk in the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take our nation back, to take our families back, to walk successfully in the promises that the Lord has made us, because hope is still alive.
September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away. Hope is alive, hope lives on. Hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beat.